sick and tired of hearing things from uptight, short-sighted, narrow-minded hypocrites. All I want is the truth. Just give me some truth.
Hello, listeners, and welcome to this edition of 9/11 Wake Up Call. I'm Cheryl.
There's more good news in the world of 9/11 truth. The Lawyers Committee for 9/11 Inquiry, along with Architects and Engineers for 9/11 Truth, and many 9/11 victims' family members, have filed a new lawsuit against the FBI for withholding 9/11-related evidence from the congressionally mandated 9/11 Review Commission, which came out with a report in 2015. The Lawyers Committee for 9/11 Inquiry and the Architects and Engineers for 9/11 Truth previously filed a grand jury petition in federal court in New York City in 2018, which is now underway. Joining me today to discuss this recent lawsuit against the FBI are architect Richard Gage, founder of Architects and Engineers for 9/11 Truth, and three members of the Lawyers Committee for 9/11 Inquiry, 9/11 researcher Barbara Honegger, and attorneys Dave Meiswinkel and Mick Harrison. So before we get started, I just want to tell you a little bit about each of my esteemed guests today. Richard Gage, AIA, is a San Francisco Bay Area architect of 30 years, a member of the American Institute of Architects, and the founder and president of Architects and Engineers for 9/11 Truth. Since founding Architects and Engineers for 9/11 Truth, he has delivered his live multimedia presentation more than 550 times in dozens of foreign countries and 110 American cities, and he has appeared on more than 600 radio and television spots. And Barbara Honegger has a master's degree and is a leading researcher, author, and public speaker on September 11. And she's also a board member and grand jury petition drafting committee member of the Lawyers Committee for 9/11 Inquiry. Barbara Honegger served as White House policy analyst and Department of Justice official in the Reagan administration, and for over a decade was the senior military affairs journalist at the Naval Postgraduate School for the Department of Defense. Attorney David Meiswinkel has been a licensed attorney in New Jersey since 1989 and a practicing criminal defense attorney for over a decade. He's presently the president and a board member of the Lawyers Committee for 9/11 Inquiry, a nonprofit organization dedicated to transparency and accountability in government. He's a retired police officer of 23 years and a United States Army veteran. He's the president of the New Jersey 9/11 Aware, a nonprofit organization which serves to educate the public about the core scientific truths and forensic evidence of 9/11, which conflict with the official narrative. And attorney Mick Harrison is the director of litigation for the Lawyers Committee for 9/11 Inquiry. He's a public interest attorney, graduated summa cum laude at the University of the District of Columbia Law School. Attorney Harrison has a national practice focused on cases that involve whistleblower protection, government accountability, corporate fraud, and false claims, and dangers to public health or the environment. And to learn more about any of these, you can find more extensive bios on the website lc4911.org or ae911truth.org. And now it's a pleasure to welcome these esteemed speakers to the show. Richard Gage, Dave Meiswinkel, Barbara Honegger, and Mick Harrison, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
I'm very excited about what you're all doing. To me, you're the real true Americans, and you have great courage. I'm proud to be interviewing you today. It's a real honor. So first, let's begin with Richard Gage. Richard, why is 9/11 still important today, these 18 years later?
Well, the effects of what happened on 9/11 have been with us for more than 18 years now. I mean, we invaded a country and killed 2 million Muslims and destroyed those countries as a result of what happened at the World Trade Center. And we're still paying for rebuilding that infrastructure and defending, if you will, or continuing our aggression in those countries. And this all goes back to this attack. So if something happened that's different regarding the destruction of the three World Trade Center towers in particular, which is our area of focus at AE911 Truth, and by the way, we're still investing, well, we've invested a total of $6.5 trillion in this global war on terror. And that's still going on. I mean, our grandchildren and their grandchildren will be paying for this war. It's incredible. We've also sacrificed our personal civil liberties to try to get security. So we traded in our freedoms for security through the Patriot Act, the Military Commissions Act, the National Defense Authorization Act of 2012, in which any of us can be arrested. And that's quite a concern. Without any right to a lawyer, a trial, a jury, we can be tortured and even assassinated as American citizens without any due process. That's the current state of affairs. So we're all very concerned. And, of course, the 9/11 family members have not achieved justice for the victims of these attacks, numbering over 3,000 now, still without the truth of what really happened. And most of the 9/11 family members, in fact, are still looking to answer questions that have never been answered with the 9/11 Commission report or since. So they are working with us to change things, and that's what we're here to talk about today.
Well, I'm glad you mentioned that about the family members, because often people tell me that it's insensitive or rude to the families to be challenging what we've been told about 9/11, especially on or around the anniversary. And I'm hearing from you that it's just the opposite, that many of the 9/11 family members are working with you to get at the truth. Does anyone else want to add something to that?
Yeah, I'd like to say something, and this is coming from a police perspective also, in addition to being an attorney. There has never been a proper investigation, a criminal investigation. And the theory that puts forth by the government, the official story, is a falsehood, not true. So as Richard said, all this has happened based on a lie. The culprits, the true people, the true conspirators, the true mechanics, the true ideologists who put this crime together, they're still at large. They've never been brought to justice. And this is really a litmus test for our country. If we cannot address the crimes on that day, which on that day killed 3,000 Americans, and since then has wreaked devastation around the world, and in particular suspended in many ways our constitutional rights, maybe we don't deserve to be called Americans. So what we're trying to do basically is do what the authorities should have done right from the beginning, is to do an objective, complete, thorough investigation. And we'll talk about some of the things we've been doing, at least the Lawyers Committee and Architects and Engineers, over the years to keep this issue alive. This is a litmus test for our democracy and our freedom. So that's why it's so important. The sinister culprits have never been yet apprehended. And this crime, the crime of the century, maybe the crime of many centuries, has not been addressed. And America has to do that to get itself back on the right path.
I would like to address that briefly as well. I would just like people to know that many people who don't know too much about what really happened to our country on 9/11, it is absolutely the case when you read our complaint, meaning what we filed on March 25th in federal district court in Washington, D.C., which is called a complaint. It's a lawsuit that names the defendant as the FBI and the Department of Justice. When you read the complaint, you realize that we have literally proven that the official story of who attacked America on 9/11 is a Hitlerian level big lie. And when you realize that, as Dave said, the real perpetrators who attacked America on 9/11 are still at large, they're still dangerous, and they can do it again. And until we succeed, we are in mortal danger of it happening again for political and geopolitical reasons. And also I'd like to add that many people that I talk to who don't know very much about what really happened on 9/11, they say, well, you really shouldn't be doing this because the victim's family members, it hurts them too much to raise this all again. And in fact, it's exactly the opposite. One of the plaintiffs on our lawsuit against the FBI and the Department of Justice is Bob McElvain, who lost his son, Bobby McElvain, at World Trade Center 1 on 9/11. And when you go to our website, either of our websites, and that's the Lawyers Committee website, lc4for911.org, and or the Architects and Engineers website, which is AE911. truth.org. At either website, you can read the petition. You can read the press release from the press conference where we held the press conference in Washington, D.C. on March 25th, just a little over a week ago. And you can also, very importantly, you can, on the main page of either website, you can see the video of the press conference that was held in Washington, D.C., right after Nick Harrison, our litigation director, who's on this interview, filed the lawsuit. And you will see Bob McElveen. You will see his passionate call for justice for his son, Bobby. And people also need to know that there are literally, as we're speaking, thousands of 9/11 victims' family members, we just call them the family members, who have an ongoing court case against the government of Saudi Arabia for an aspect of the evidence for the Saudis' complicity in assisting at least two of the alleged hijackers on 9/11. So you cannot say that the victims' family members don't want us to be doing what we're doing. They do.
Now, Dave Meiswinkel, could you give us a brief overview of the first litigation or legal action that the Lawyers Committee for 9/11 Inquiry took in New York City?
Sure. Well, the first action is not litigation. The grand jury petition was well thought out with a lot of members of the Lawyers Committee putting their heads together, and it was drafted by Nick, and it was submitted in New York City on April the 10th and hand-delivered to the office of the U.S. Attorney, Jeffrey Berman. And accompanying the attorney that did that was Bob McElveen. All right. So Bob was with us in New York City, in the Southern District of Manhattan, in making that presentation. And he also was with us at a press conference afterwards in front of City Hall. And that grand jury petition outlined basically, it has to do with New York City and explosive evidence in New York City, the evidence of pre-planted explosives, of bombs and demolition in that regard, controlled demolition. And that was also had an attachment of 57 exhibits, and the attachment is quite thorough, and it would take you a long time to go through. So that was submitted at that time. There was an amendment made on July 30th, which is adding more bomb charges and more counts. And then we waited, and then on November 7th, we received a confirmation from the United States Attorney that was also signed by Michael Ferreira, the head of the Chief of Terrorism International Narcotics Unit. And basically, the U.S. Attorney said that they would comply with the provisions of 18 U.S.C. 3332 as they relate to our submissions. And that has to do with the presentation of this evidence to a grand jury. And as we know, it would be the first time ever that this type of evidence has been presented. And this, a lot of this evidence was packaged from the excellent work that Richard Gage and architects and engineers did from the time they started up the organization. I think it was around 2007. So recently, though, Cheryl, and Nick can go into it more depth because he drafted this, but all the lawyers committee, our board, again, we review it well, but Nick was the brilliant drafter of the litigation on March 25th. Now, this is a lawsuit. It's a little different, a lot different. And this, we're suing the FBI and the DOJ. And it basically, again, it's for a failure of the FBI not to do what the Congress had mandated they do, and that's assess evidence that wasn't considered originally by the 9/11 investigation committee back in 2002 and 2004, between that period of time. And this is a 9/11 related evidence, and there's a 7 counts to this. And I could go into it, but I think Nick ought to do it and go into it at some length if you want to. But this is really important because it changes, well, I think it's a historical document, and it changes the whole momentum of the 9/11 truth movement. The first change, the major change, was the credibility we gained by going into the New York City area and being instrumental in a grand jury. That's a landmark. Being convened on these ground zero evidence. But this now expands the coverage of the 9/11 crimes because the counts, as Nick goes through them, you'll see, start to connect dots or start to put dots, put it that way, that can be connected. And that's really significant.
And the grand jury investigation underway in New York City is secret, right? So we don't really know what's happening there. We only know that they convened one.
As Barbara likes to point out, this action is not secret now, and people can follow it because this is a lawsuit. And you can follow this most recent lawsuit. It's very exciting.
Yes, it is. And Mick Harrison, could you tell us about this exciting new lawsuit against the FBI concerning 9/11?
Sure. So the FBI suit has seven counts. Each count is a separate legal claim for relief. We're seeking an injunction, an order from the court directing the FBI to do what Congress mandated that the FBI do. A lot of folks don't realize that in 2014, maybe even 2013, but early 2014, the Congress directed the FBI to look at any evidence related to the 9/11 attacks that was not considered by the original 9/11 Commission in 2004. And the FBI did create an external commission called the 9/11 Review Commission, and it did produce a report in response to the congressional mandate. The problem with the report that was issued in March 2015 is that it omitted major categories of evidence related to the 9/11 attacks that had not been addressed by the original commission. So this lawsuit that we filed in Washington, D.C. recently is essentially brought under the Administrative Procedures Act and the federal mandamus statute to have the court order the FBI to do a mandatory duty imposed on the FBI by Congress. And that duty is to identify all of this evidence not addressed by the original commission, have a new commission assess it, and report that assessment to Congress. So the key, and Dave sort of touched on the concept here, is that it's hard for Congress itself to connect the dots on what happened with 9/11 until Congress knows what the dots are. Kind of hard to connect dots until you have the dots. And what this lawsuit is about is transparency, to get the FBI to do its job and report the evidentiary dots, if you will, to Congress so Congress can determine itself how those dots should be connected, and so can the American people. And we have six categories of evidence that we identify in our complaint that the FBI and its new commission failed to address. And the first and foremost of those categories of evidence is the evidence of the use of explosives, pre-placed explosives and incendiaries, at the World Trade Center on 9/11 that resulted in the destruction of the two Trade Center towers and Building 7, and unfortunately exacerbated the loss of life during those crimes. So the architects and engineers have developed over a period of years and articulated very well a pattern of evidence. And I've identified about 20 categories of evidence, each corroborating the other, that proves beyond any reasonable doubt that pre-placed explosives and incendiaries were used at the World Trade Center on 9/11. So the problem with this new FBI commission report is it totally ignored all that evidence. And as Richard can explain, we have documentation that the FBI was aware of the work of architects and engineers and nonetheless ignored this evidence when they did their new work with the new commission, which was a violation of the congressional mandate. So that's the first big category of evidence that was omitted in the new commission report, and our lawsuit is designed to order the FBI to assess and report to Congress. The second category, which is our second count, has to do with folks who were arrested on 9/11. Not everyone knows that this happened, but several individuals were arrested in New York, New Jersey area on 9/11 after they were observed celebrating, strangely enough, the attacks on the Trade Center towers. And the New Jersey police stopped them. The state police took custody, and then the FBI did the interrogation of these five individuals and held them in custody for some time. And these folks were self-identified as Israelis. And the FBI created hundreds of pages of reports of their investigation of these individuals. And that included having a bomb-sniffing dog do a run through their van. And the dog reacted positively to the presence of explosives. And then there was a test of a blanket in the van for explosive residue, and we're still looking to get those results some 18 years later. So none of these hundreds of pages of documents regarding this investigation of these individuals who were arrested on 9/11 has been assessed by the new commission or reported to Congress. And this evidence was also not considered by the original 9/11 commission. So this is a prime example of something that falls within the congressional mandate for the FBI through an external review commission to look at any new evidence not addressed by the original commission related to 9/11. So that is our count two. Count three of the seven counts is related to the same category of evidence, the high fibers as the FBI calls them. But this count is different. It has to do with the destruction of evidence by the FBI that would have been relevant to the new commission's work. And the gist of this count is that when the lawyers committee did a FOIA request for the photographs that were developed from film confiscated from these high fibers when they were arrested, the response from the FBI was that on January 2014, records that may have been responsive to our request were destroyed. And it appears that some, hopefully not all, of the records regarding the high fibers arrest and investigation were destroyed by the FBI, quite coincidentally, in the same year and the same month that the new FBI Review Commission started its work and would have had an obligation to look at that very same evidence that the FBI itself destroyed.
Wow.
So that's our third count. The fourth count has to do with the Saudi and other international support for the alleged hijackers, and most folks by now know about the 28 pages that were eventually released some 13 or more years after the fact, after being illegally kept secret. These 28 pages were the pages that addressed Saudi support for at least two of the alleged hijackers, and this is part of the Congressional Joint Inquiry into 9/11. And so those pages were eventually released after a long period of advocacy by family members and concerned members of Congress and some of us. And that's sort of old news. What's sort of new news and is the subject of our count four is that when a lot of the family members sued the Saudis, and that suit is ongoing in New York, and after many years of that litigation, the federal court there has finally gotten around to allowing some discovery, it's limited discovery, by the family members against the Saudis. And the discovery has to do with what they call the jurisdictional issue, which has to do with immunity. But because it's fact-intensive, the Saudis are now going to have to, and so is the U.S. government, produce some documents to the family members. And the Department of Justice has responded in regard to this court order requiring some documents to be produced that it has identified what the DOJ and FBI call three tranches, T-R-A-N-C-H-E-S, tranches of documents that the FBI has that are relevant to the question of Saudi support for the alleged hijackers. And if you read our complaint, you'll see that we've identified some documents indicating that at least a portion of these records would be dated in the time period between the two commissions, between the original 2004 9/11 Commission and the more recent 2015 FBI 9/11 Review Commission. And therefore, that evidence falls into the congressional mandate. And yet you don't see that evidence being assessed by the new commission. And, of course, it couldn't have been considered by the original commission because it didn't exist yet. So that's our fourth count. The fifth count has to do with video evidence regarding the Pentagon. And the subject of that video evidence has been, the focus of quite a bit of discussion, not just in the truth community, but beyond. And one concerned citizen has done a FOIA request asking for all the videos taken on 9/11 within 1 mile radius of the Pentagon. And the response from the FBI to that FOIA request, Freedom of Information request, was that they identified 13 compact discs, CDs, with videos that would be responsive regarding the Pentagon on 9/11. And later they said they found apparently an additional 100 videos that would be taken on 9/11 within a 1 mile radius of the Pentagon. All of those videos have not been produced yet through the requester, but the point of our count five is that same evidence, which clearly the FBI has not been assessed by the new 9/11 Commission and was not considered by the original 9/11 Commission. So that's another major area. It's one of those dots that David is talking about that needs to be put on the radar screen of Congress so that the Congress and the American people can attempt to connect the dots in the way they find most persuasive. Our count six has to do with plane parts and plane wreckage recovered at each of the three attack sites, Shanksville, the Pentagon, and the World Trade Center. And most of us have seen the photographs of lines of FBI agents walking across fields to pick up evidence at the crash sites. And this lawsuit has to do with the fact that that evidence has not been considered by the original commission, and it also was not assessed by the new 2015 FBI commission. So that's our sixth count. The seventh has to do with calls made or reported to be made from the four planes hijacked, and that evidence has developed over time. A lot of folks know that in the Massali trial in 2006, that the FBI came up with a second version of what that evidence about the phone calls showed. And it was in direct contrast to the version that the original 9/11 commission had reported, particularly in regard to the calls from Barbara Olson to her husband, Ted Olson, the Solicitor General of the United States, Barbara having the misfortune to be on Flight 77 on 9/11. So the 9/11 commission reported four completed phone calls, all for more than a minute, one for more than 4 minutes. But in the Massali trial, the FBI reported evidence that to us indicates none of those calls were completed, and only one was acknowledged by the FBI as having been attempted, which lasted for 0 seconds. And they're still talking about the same phone calls, Barbara Olson to Ted Olson. So that evidence, whatever that new evidence is that made the FBI change the story on the phone calls, was not assessed by the new FBI 9/11 Commission in 2015, but it falls into the congressional mandate. So that's why it's included in our lawsuit. So I'll stop there.
And I think you said that since this lawsuit is public, people can follow it online. Where would they go to do that?
There are two places to go to follow sort of the play-by-play of the lawsuit. One would be our website, and I'm pretty sure the architects and engineers will follow it as well. So either the architects and engineers' website or the lawyers' committee. The lawyers' committee is www.lcfor911.org. And Richard, I'm sure, will give the AE website in a moment. Now, there's a third way to do it, and that is any citizen can get an account to follow federal court filings. It's through the public access to court electronic record. It's called PACER, for short, P-A-C-E-R. If you go to PACER and sign up, you can basically track any federal court filing in any case in any court in the country, including this one. If you want to view documents or download them, you'll have to pay a small fee. It's not too expensive to download or view each filing. So those are the ways to track. The next step is expected to be a motion to dismiss from the government. Either that or the government will actually respond paragraph by paragraph to our allegations and either admit or deny them. And sooner or later, the government will have to do that admission or deny on each of our allegations. But the motion to dismiss typically comes if there's a procedural issue where the defendant feels like there's some technical defect in the lawsuit. We don't expect that to be the case here, but that doesn't always keep a defendant from filing such a motion.
And can you appeal that, or how does that work?
Well, first of all, we don't expect to lose it, so we wouldn't have to appeal. If we did lose, then we would eventually be able to appeal, and if it was an order that actually dismissed our entire case, we could appeal right away. So, yes, it would go to the U.S. Court of Appeals or the District of Columbia Circuit. But we're cautiously optimistic that that's not going to happen in this particular case. I mean, keep in mind, what we have to prove in this case is not any particular theory of events of what happened on 9/11. What we have to prove is that there's evidence that exists that's related to 9/11 that was not assessed by the new commission and not considered by the original commission, no matter which way that evidence cuts. And so that's a fairly non-demanding burden of proof for us, and we expect to be able to meet it. So I think the rubber is going to hit the road at the second stage of the lawsuit, which is the summary judgment stage, where motions are filed based on the actual evidence, not on legal technicalities. And that will be a few months down the road.
Is there a deadline that the court has to meet here?
You know, the court may set deadlines. We don't have that briefing schedule yet, so I'm giving you a best estimate of a few months, but we'll post, you know, when those deadlines are set, we'll post them.
You've just been listening to the first part of an interview with architect Richard Gage and the Lawyers Committee for 9/11 Inquiry members Barbara Honegger, attorney Dave Meiswinkel, and attorney Mick Harrison. Tune in next week to hear the second and final part of that interview. And for more information on the lawsuit, you can go to their websites. It's ae911truth.org or LC4, and that's F-O-R, so LC4911.org. And save the date for Sunday, June 9th, because architect Richard Gage, whom you just heard, will be speaking here at the University of Hartford at 7:30 p.m. in the Auerbach Auditorium. Stay tuned for more details. This concludes this edition of 9/11 Wake Up Call. I'm Cheryl. Thanks for listening.